It's time to go to the Arkansas Mailing Services Hotline and talk to the man who knows everything, the do's, the don'ts, the ins, the outs of the SEC, and that's John Cooper from Saturday Down South. What is up, John?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Man, you know, just talking a little basketball after, I don't know if you were able to watch the Razorback basketball win last night, but I've been talking about that all day. It's been a lot of fun, but it's now time to talk a little football. And I've got to get your thoughts on this. Chris Ash from Arkansas leaves to go to be the co-defensive coordinator at Ohio State.
Is it co?
Yeah, he's
it's,
a,
okay.
He got the, it's
I
a co-title.
It was
he's going to be running the defense.
Coordinator, but it's co.
Yeah, but it's a co-defensive coordinator job. What are your thoughts on that, John?
Well, I think obviously every assistant coach, every coordinator probably has higher goals to try and become a head coach one day. So you're looking at Ash, who has a good experience and a good history under Brett Bielema, has the opportunity to go to a program like Ohio State. You know, taking nothing away from Arkansas, certainly I think Ohio State is set up in that conference and with the players that they've recruited to have a pretty good year next year. And, you know, as a stepping stone, you get an opportunity, if you're Ash, to learn under Urban Meyer. You've already had the opportunity to learn under Bielema, and my guess is he wants to become a head coach, and that's probably the quickest path to doing so right now.
You know, I just saw on CoachingSearch.com that Rob Smith has been in talks to be the next defensive coordinator at Arkansas. He was formerly with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and as the defensive coordinator at Rutgers, do you know much about him, or have you heard anything?
Well, I just know he's a good defensive mind, and Bielema's going to do what's best. I mean, he has a lot of connections. I actually thought that, you know, he could have actually promoted Randy Shannon from linebackers coach. I thought he might have gone towards NC State defensive coordinator Dave Huxtable, who has a good relationship with. And now, obviously, Rob's name has come up, too. So I just know he's a great defensive mind. But, you know, make no mistake, Bielema's going to hire a quality coach, a good coach with a good defensive mind to lead Arkansas. It's a very attractive job.
And, John, seeing reports about Ed Orgeron, don't know if there's any truth to them. Wanted to get your thoughts real quick on where do you think he ends up, and what about Kiffin to Bama as the OC, and how much, if any, when he was fired at USC and then it was reported that Saban was putting him on the staff, I guess, as an offensive consultant, you know, did he have any impact that you know of in that Sugar Bowl, and do you like that hire?
Well, it's interesting. Well, I'll first talk about Orgeron. You know, I long thought he might make a journey back to USC, but obviously he didn't want to be a part of that organization when they kind of overlooked him for the head coaching job. I'm in the minority a little bit, possibly thinking Florida State could be a landing spot for him. You know, I've heard maybe reports about LSU, too, from him being from Louisiana. I think Orgeron lands a job somewhere. Don't think it's going to be a head job, certainly. He's a good quality coach, great recruiter. He'll do fantastic wherever he's at. That's kind of LSU and Florida State is what I've been heard mentioned right now. But as far as with respect to Kiffin, I mean, once you get past it being the shock and awe of it being Lane Kiffin, you realize that, hey, this guy's a pretty good coordinator. He's a pretty good quarterbacks coach. He did some great things with the Tennessee offense when it was just abysmal when he took over that job. Set records at USC, and we know the type of talent that he's inheriting at Alabama. Now, from a risk and surprise standpoint, I actually thought it was a little surprising Saban went in that direction. He likes to minimize distraction, but what we don't know is how much Kiffin has swallowed his pride, how much that he's been humbled by what he's experienced over the years with Oakland and Tennessee and then the USC. We don't know what's happening behind doors. You can only trust Nick Saban. He's probably the only head coach in the country that can get away with hiring Lane Kiffin as an offensive coordinator.
Right, and that's what I was hearing that game. Tennessee's circling that game on the schedule. And their player, A.J. McCarron, who's very decorated quarterback there, and some are saying, you know, the best, I guess, stat-wise quarterback in Alabama's history, and Alabama's had a lot of great players. What is your thoughts on him? I never thought that he was a – I guess just first-round pick or best quarterback. I liked Aaron Murray a little better. There's just other quarterbacks I liked better in the SEC, and it's saying that he won't play in the Senior Bowl. Are you hearing anything about kind of what's the next step for him?
Well, obviously, I think, you know, Geno Smith didn't play in the Senior Bowl last year from West Virginia, so there's, you know, ultimately it's going to be the agent's call, and as a player, you have to trust what your agent's telling you. So for whatever reason, they think it's the best situation not to compete in the Senior Bowl. Actually, I don't agree with it. I think he should go out there and compete. I think it can only help his draft stock.
I agree, and I thought the Sugar Bowl, he got hit a little bit early, and his eyes went to the D-line too many times on his pass plays. He wasn't keeping his eyes downfield, and I thought that was a big hurt, big letdown for him. And it's tough because he has had a great career, but that was one game that big stage gets hit a little bit and seemed to press a little bit.
Well, certainly, you know, from his history of performing on college football's biggest stages, he normally stepped up to the competition, up to the game for whatever reason, whether it's the pass rush, whether it's the offensive line, whether it was just a letdown of not playing in the national championship. You know, he looked a little rattled in against Oklahoma, and credit them. I mean, they were beating Alabama's offensive line up, so that was obviously in his head. And Oklahoma just played a better game in that situation. I actually thought for this particular season, I thought there were several quarterbacks that outplayed McCarron. I thought obviously Mandel, Murray had a better season. One guy nobody talks about is Connor Shaw. He had an unbelievable
season.
You can make an argument Mettenberger outplayed him too. So with respect to a career, I mean, it doesn't get more decorated, you know, certainly than what McCarron brought to the table. Except he didn't win the Heisman, but I mean, he's so decorated as a career-oriented player. But for this particular season, I thought there were several quarterbacks that outperformed him.
John Cooper from Saturday Down South joining us on Overtime. You can follow John on Twitter at JohnSDS. And John, let me ask you this. It only took Georgia 41 hours to replace Todd Grantham with Jeremy Pruitt. Why so fast did Pruitt decide to go to Georgia after, you know, winning the national championship with Florida State? He's an Alabama guy, right?
Well, I think, you know, the thing that kind of expedited the situation is from all reports and from what Pruitt was saying today in his press conferences, he didn't even actually give Florida State an opportunity to match the offer or even come close to it. I mean, he pretty much took the job and ran with it, which is kind of new. It's kind of refreshing from what we see. A lot of guys just want more money, want more jingle in their pocket. Pruitt wanted the best opportunity available for him. And what Georgia's essentially done is, they paid Todd Grantham $850,000, and they're paying Pruitt $850,000. They just got an absolute steal at defensive coordinator. I actually think that Mark Richt made the best hire that he could have made for that opening.
Well, I think really when you look at it, Pruitt's defense may be better than what Grantham had when he was at Georgia.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you look at what Pruitt's done the last couple of years, you know, Georgia's big ailing factor this past season wasn't run defense, it was in the secondary. That's Pruitt's bread and butter, man. I mean, he's got three rings in a row, two from Alabama coaching the secondary, and then, of course, last year Florida State as the coordinator. Man, this guy's great. He's an unbelievable recruiter. A lot of people are talking about, you know, Georgia got so much better on the recruiting end. And while that's true, Georgia's never had a problem recruiting. They've always had a problem with getting the players in the right position on defense and developing the talent that's already on campus. Now, I think that's where Pruitt's going to actually step up to the plate in a huge way.
And not to mention, he's a Broyles Award finalist for one of the top assistant coaches in the country. So that he's got that going for him as well.
And I agree with you, Georgia. That's one team when I look at, I don't understand how they have not won a national title in the last 10 years. And Mark Richt's tenure there, It just kind of weird. But with Jeremy Hill and Trey Mason of Auburn, Jeremy Hill of LSU, which team does it hurt more of these underclassmen running backs declaring, and do you think it's a good move? You know, which one of these running backs do you see gets drafted first?
I actually think Jeremy Hill has more upside than Trey Mason. He's a little bit bigger player. You know, taking away nothing from Mason, I thought Mason in the second half of the season was the best player in America. I mean, down the stretch, he was absolutely nails for Auburn, carried that team. I mean, we saw it in the SEC championship game. Before the NFL, they look at upside. Whether it's justified or not, I think Hill has more upside. I think he's probably a little bit better receiver out of the backfield. He's played in a pro system right now. Probably going to be better in pass protection, going to pick it up quicker playing in Cam Cameron's offense. So I think if you're looking for upside, more of a guy that's going to come off the board first, I actually think Jeremy Hill is going to be the player that maybe the first running back in the country that's taken off the board.
Wow, yeah, that's pretty neat. And speaking of Cam Cameron, I was wondering this with some of these openings across the country. Is he set? Do you think he's there at LSU for a while, or does he want to be a head coach or an OC again at the NFL level? Do you think he likes where he is right now?
Well, I think he has a certain comfort level, and he and Les Miles have a great relationship. I mean, let's face it, anytime you're putting up that kind of numbers on offense, you know, your head coach is going to love you no matter if he's your best friend or not. What he did with that offense this year was absolutely crazy. I was a little surprised he didn't get more looks for possibly a head coaching job. You know, as far as the future, I mean, who knows what's going through his mind personally, but as a coach, as a coordinator, you want to compete at the highest level, and ultimately he probably has more head coaching aspirations in the future.
John Cooper from Saturday Down South joining us on Overtime. John, you know, it's never too early to start talking about football season for next year. And I saw on Bleacher Report, and I want to get your thought on this because you are our SEC guy. They put out teams that fans should watch out for in 2014. Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Tennessee, Florida, and Arkansas. What do you think of that list? And tell me who you think could be a contender for next year.
Well, I think as far as, you know, from an article standpoint of something like that, they were probably reaching for more of dark horse teams. But, you know, after what we witnessed this year with Missouri and Auburn, who a lot of people projected to finish fourth and fifth in their own division, Auburn winds up playing for the national title. Truly anything can happen. And then this new age of what we're seeing with the style of offensive play, I think that sets the table for more parity in the SEC. So, you know, as far as projecting dark horses next year, I think the biggest turnaround in the SEC is going to be had by Florida. Whether they'll win 9 games, I don't know. You win 8 games, that's a huge turnaround from what you experienced last year. Ole Miss has the talent. You know, anytime you sign a top 3 recruiting class, you're expected to play for national championships. So Hugh Freeze assigned that type of class last year. He's going to sign it with another class this year. You've got several returning starters next year. You know, to me, it's going to come to Bo Wallace at quarterback and whether or not he's going to be able to turn the page from an average SEC quarterback to being a championship-caliber quarterback as to whether Ole Miss contends. And Tennessee is another team that I think actually is going to turn the corner next year. They could get 7-8 wins. Brutal schedule again, but they could absolutely do it. As far as Arkansas is concerned, you know, it's going to be a few years of, batting down the hatches, getting players in there, developing those guys. I think Brett Bielema is the coach to do that.
You mentioned Florida, and, you know, they could be a team that could be on the rise next year. Kurt Roper comes in as the new OC over at Florida. We saw what he did with Duke this year. But it's a different ball game going from the ACC to the SEC. What do you think – how do you think Roper's going to do for Florida?
It is a different ball game going from the ACC to the Southeastern Conference, but at the same time, you're getting a different caliber athlete too. So it's going to be about the quarterback again, Jeff Driscoll, and he's got more weapons than what he had at Duke. Obviously, he's going to be playing against a lot better defenses too. So, you know, that's just something to keep an eye on. But as far as Roper goes, I mean, he's got to find a way to get the ball to players in space. That's something Florida hasn't done. They've been so mundane and boring on offense that it's been almost unwatchable this past year. So he's got to liven it up. He's got to create, a little bit of a wrinkle. And that for him is the up-tempo offense that fits Jeff Driscoll much better. You know, Florida was trying to turn Jeff Driscoll into A.J. McCarron, where he's more, you know, physically compared to maybe somebody like Nick Marshall, who they need to limit his throws per game, really utilize his legs. So, you know, it's going to be certainly an interesting situation.
And coming up this next year is Auburn, and are they the team to beat out of not only the West but the East with Gus Malzahn, his offense, and just kind of how it's taken college football by storm? Reminds me so much of what Chip Kelly does or did at Oregon, was able to bring to the NFL. Do you think Auburn repeats as SEC champions?
Yeah, I always compared Auburn to Oregon. I think that's a solid comparison. But they're much more physical, and they're a little bit faster, to be honest with you, from a offensive line standpoint, a lot bigger, a lot stronger. So he's totally, you know, revolutionizing the way that league is played. And if there's one Achilles heel to beating Nick Saban in Alabama every single year, Gus Malzahn is that guy. I think he's in the perfect situation. He has a lot of talent returning next year, whether it's offensive line, on defense. I mean, he's got great young-looking prospects on the defensive side of the ball. Yes, Auburn, in my estimation, is the team to beat in the entire SEC again next year. And I actually think Georgia, with the hire of Pruitt, they have 17 returning starters next year, 10 of 11 on defense. Man, they're going to be nailed again. So that's kind of the two teams I'm looking at.
Who's their quarterback? We got to see a little bit of him. Is he going to be able to do – I mean, anytime you replace an Aaron Murray or any quarterback that's a four-year starter, that's tough to replace.
Oh, absolutely. You know, taking nothing away from Murray, I thought he was great. What we saw from Mason in the bowl game, yeah, he looked lackluster. Of course, you know, it was raining a little bit. I'm not making excuses, but he played well against Kentucky, played really well against Georgia Tech in a comeback victory. He actually, his arm is actually very comparable to Murray. Obviously, Murray had a lot more plays, a lot more big games underneath his belt. But, you know, when you lose the focus player on your offense, it actually helps the team concentrate more, in my opinion. It helps the offensive coordinator realize his strengths on offense. I think Todd Gurley, they're going to have just an unbelievable backfield, a great receiving corps. They replaced three on the offensive line. I think Hudson Mason is probably a huge key to Georgia, but at the same time, there's enough players around him to help him win the East.
Yeah, you got to keep Todd Gurley healthy.
John Cooper from Saturday Down South joining us on Overtime. And real quick, you touched on LSU just a minute ago. They lost 11 last year to the NFL draft, losing a couple more this year. You know, we always talk about the Alabamas, the LSUs of the world that are just always reloading. Is this going to start affecting, you know, their productivity? You know, is they're starting to play more and more freshmen and sophomores?
Well, I think so. The defense took a step back this year. The one thing that they had to have and the one thing that was returning from last year was the offense. And, you know, they for the first time in LSU history, they had a 3,000-yard passer, 1,000-yard rusher, two 1,000-yard receivers, and all four of those guys are going to be gone next year. So, you know, I do look for LSU to take a step back on offense, but they're going to get better on defense with another added year. But it's so tough. You look at LSU, they're losing 7 again this year. To give you a kind of a comparison that's crazy to me, with LSU losing 7 underclassmen to the draft, the Big Ten is losing 4 from the entire conference.
Yeah,
so
wow.
That tells you the talent that's funneling through this league. LSU is a top 10 job. They're going to be fine.
Which coach in the SEC has the most to prove this next year? By saying that, which coach do you think is on the hot seat?
Well, I think the answer to both those questions is Will Muschamp. From winning 11 games to winning 4 last year, he's got some talent returning. He's going to have a good defense. There's no question in my mind he enters maybe on college football's hottest seat this year.
John Cooper, it's always good stuff. Great having you on the show. You can follow John on Twitter at JohnSDS. He's from Saturday Down South. Hey, man, have a great offseason. I know you'll be busy plugging out articles and doing things for the offseason, but, 2014 season will be right around the corner.
Hey, man, college football is year-round now. We love it.